Praise the Lord, everybody.
Praise the Lord.
Praise God indeed. Hope everyone's doing well. Just love the Lord. I just excited to see everybody here tonight. What a beautiful day. What a beautiful last couple of days. I like the coolness. I do. Let's all stand. We're going to go to the Lord in prayer as we open up our service. Does anyone on my right side have a spoken prayer request tonight? Yes, ma'am. All righty.
And appraisal court, my brother got to come home from the hospital. They did surgery on his leg yesterday afternoon, and he is moving his leg. He walks a little bit with his walker.
Praise God.
Amen.
And I know he's going to take care of Stormy too.
Amen. We just want to thank the Lord. All praise for it. Praise the Lord. Amen. Miss Lori. Oh, praise God. Amen. Amen. Just want to praise the Lord. Thank you. Thank you. Anyone else on the right side? Yes. Absolutely. Yes. Yes, it most definitely does. Anyone else on my right side of the prayer request? Goodness. Praise God. Anyone on the left side this evening with a spoken prayer request? Yes, ma'am. Absolutely. Absolutely. Most definitely will. Anyone else in the congregation with a spoken prayer request? All righty. Anyone up on the rostrum this evening? Miss Penny? And I also have a spoken prayer request for my family. My oldest sister, which most of y'all have never met, her ex-husband, he passed. And my nephews, they were contacting me. We've all stayed in touch. And he says, yeah, just hit them hard. And they just really, really need prayer. It's the Logan family. So just I know God can strengthen and guide. And just what needs to be done in all the prayer requests. If you have an unspoken prayer request this evening, just show by raising your hand. Praise God. Brother Eddie, would you lead us in our prayer, please?
Dear Heavenly Father, we love you and we thank you, God, for your many, many blessings for this opportunity to gather together tonight. Father, we pray your anointing upon every part of this service. Father, we do remember those who are sick and suffering, God.
Yes, Lord.
Special request, God. Lord, the hands that was raised, you see each and every need. Those in the hospitals and nursing homes, those that experience the death in their family. Father, I pray that you comfort them and strengthen them. God, I pray, Lord, that you have your will in mind. God, we do remember those who are lost in this world. Praying, God, that you would bring them, God, to the altar of repentance. Father, be with us tonight through every part of this service. Lead us and guide us and direct us in the way that you have us to go. Bless every word spoken, every psalm sung tonight. Let it be for your honor, for your glory. Father, we'll give you all the praise.
Yes.
We ask these blessings in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Let's give the Lord a hand clap of praise. Praise. You know, and we're going to sing page 92, just a little talk with Jesus. But as we go into it, that is our comfort, that we can go to the Lord in prayer and speak to Him just as if we speak to our Heavenly Father as our Father, as He's right there with us. That line of communication is open, thanks to Jesus. Praise the Lord. Just a little talk with Jesus. Let's all sing tonight.
Lost in sin, but Jesus took me in.
God. You may be seated if you can. Just love the Lord this evening. We have to rely on Him more and more. In this day and time, it seems as if the world wants to tell you something different, but I know our Lord, He's right there with us. Amen. Amen. I'm going to go ahead and take up the evening offering. I have two announcements up here so far. Don't forget about the baby shower this Saturday at 2 p.m. in the Curtis Center for Sister Sierra Agin. If you have any information, I know that the ladies are putting this together. And I'm sure Miss Penny or someone would have the answers if you need to know. And also the Samaritan's Purse, the children's Christmas shoe boxes that we're doing. And Miss Elaine has her list. I know some people had asked for it the other day. She's brought the list with her. And if you need an idea of what to get, and also the monetary donations for those that's already given, we thank you. We just have such a giving church. And also our Overcomers Outreach on Thursday nights. Don't forget, now they have a ladies and a men's class. Have two separate classes. God is just blessing that, and we just know there's so many in need, and God can step in, and that's exactly what our prayer is, and all the other ministries that go forth. Brother Jim, would you ask the Lord to bless our evening offering, please? Yes, Lord. Amen. Sister Linda, and then Miss Tabitha, please, and Miss Jennifer.
The things that I love and hold dear to my heart are just
Hey, y'all. I think of things to say, and then I'm as bad as she is, I guess. I can't remember them whenever I get up here. Anyway, I love the Lord, and I'm looking forward to going home one day. So y'all worship with him as I try to sing, "That Sounds Like Home to Me," B flat. Somewhere just across the Jordan River is a place of everlasting joy and peace, where the streams of life is flowing there forever. Children playing by the tree of life. No pain, no disappointments there will hurt us. And Jesus Christ himself will be the light. Oh, that sound.
Praise the Lord.
This is like totally unrehearsed. But this is what I felt. All my hope is in Jesus. Amen. I did forget to ask prayer earlier. I had took Gabe to the chiropractor today. He's been having a lot of problems with his back, and the doctor told me today that he has scoliosis, and that's why his back is curving. And so he adjusted him and all that, and we got home. He said, "Mom, that didn't help me not one bit." I said, "Son, it's a process. It's not instant pain relief." But I've never been told that he had it before. They checked him when he was a little boy, but I guess with his body, him growing like he's growing, that it's caused it. But I know God can heal it, and I'm believing that God's going to touch his back. If y'all believe with me. Y'all worship with us tonight.
God is indeed my refuge. song says, without him, what would I do? I don't want to know. But y'all just worship with us. When clouds of doubt hover o'er me, storm clouds toss me to and fro, there is a place I can go. 'Cause he's a ship for every tempest. He's an anchor that is sure. And in times like this, it's good to know shelter. Up ahead I could not see those dark clouds so heavy with rain. And then the wind blew so hard against me. He called out, never wonder again. God is my refuge. He's a strong and mighty tower that I can run into. God
God is. Someone made a statement to me the other day and made a statement, just said that every time, no matter what, I always say, you know, I'm blessed. But you know, I guess the Lord has shown me so many times I'm blessed.
Yes.
You know, no matter what that storm is, no matter that He is our refuge, He's everything that we can call on.
Yes, amen.
And He is our strength when we need it. And the biggest testimony that I can give my God is He's picked me up so many times and brushed that old sin off and straightened me up and said, put me on my way again. I just want to praise the Lord tonight. And I just thank Him for loving me, even when I'm unlovable. Just praise the Lord tonight. Let's just give Him the glory. Amen.
Well, glory. Amen. Praise the Lord. Got any happy folks in the house tonight? Got any blessed folks in the house? Glory to God. Amen. What was it we saw on Facebook? Paul's, somebody said they was like Paul. They wanted to be on the road to Damascus. I'm tired of them boogers, I tell you what. I keep one handy and just for other folks, but as soon as I get out, I jerk that thing off. I hate to deprive the world of my pretty face. I'll be honest with you. I just... No, that's not the case at all. I just don't breathe real good, to be honest with you. And my sinuses, I need all the help I can get. I surely don't need a mask covering me. But you know, one of these days... I said, one of these days, every little old thing that gets on my nerve is going to be gone. Amen. Every problem I've ever had is going to be behind me. There'll be no more tears, no sadness, no sorrow, no pain, no more death. Glory to God. Look what we have in store for us. All because of the blood of Jesus Christ. Amen. I was thinking about that as they were singing about the blood, and I'm so thankful. Amen. That Christ loved us enough to shed His precious blood on the cross of Calvary. Not only that we might enjoy this wonderful Holy Spirit that we have within us, but we have a place prepared for us. And I'm looking forward for that prepared place that Jesus Christ Himself. Can you imagine? I mean, everything Jesus ever did was perfect. Can you imagine what He's got prepared for us? My, my, my. What does the Bible say? Eye hath not seen, ear hath not heard, neither has it entered into the heart of man what the Lord has in store or prepared for those that love Him. It's just beyond my ability to even fathom or comprehend. But you know what? I got a place reserved there. Amen. Because of Jesus. Glory to God. If you have your Bibles tonight, go with us to the book of 2 Corinthians. In the 10th chapter of the book of 2 Corinthians. Amen. Praise God. Can I just get a show of hands if God's been good to you this week? Amen. Thank God for that. He's good to us, isn't He? In spite of all of our problems and all the setbacks and the situations that we must endure, we still find time to glorify and praise God for His goodness. It's just good to be alive and well. We have made the statement today. We have been just flooded with sickness and death. It just seems like there's just so much death here lately. Just seems like two or three a day you're hearing about, you know, and that just lets us know. Amen, that life is here on this earth is not forever. My granddaddy used to say it all the time, life is a vapor. It's here today and gone tomorrow. But you know what? Again, that's like the old gentleman said, we're not put here to live. We're put here to prepare to live. So I hope everybody's made their preparation, amen, to go to that prepared place that Jesus has in store for us. In the book of 2 Corinthians, in chapter number 10, beginning with verse number 3, Paul the Apostle writes this, "For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons," everybody say weapons, "of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations, and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ, and having a readiness to revenge all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled." Can we pray? Dear gracious Heavenly Fathers, we come again to love You and to thank You, God, for Your goodness, Your mercy, Your abundant grace. Thank You for those who've gathered here tonight. And Father, I pray, God, that You would just open up that window of heaven, pour out Your anointing and Your blessing, God, upon this congregation. God, I pray that You would give us that You would have us to hear tonight, God, that it might produce growth and edification into our spirit, that it might lift our spirits. Father, I pray tonight that You would anoint this vessel, anoint this lips of clay tonight, God, that the Holy Spirit may speak to us. God, I pray, Lord, that we'll be submissive and obedient to Your will and to Your word, and we'll be so careful to give You the praise, the honor, and the glory. We ask these blessings in Jesus' name. Amen. If you would, put your hands together for Jesus tonight. Amen. You may be seated. Glory to God. Amen. You know, we can't praise Him enough. Amen. It's going to take me an eternity just to thank Him and praise Him for all that He's ever done. First thing I want to do is bow down before Him. Amen. And just thank Him for saving my soul. Thank Him for filling me with His Spirit. Tonight I want to bring a message entitled Spiritual Weapons. Spiritual Weapons. The Apostle Paul here, and you know, I got to thinking about this. You know, we're not the only one that has ever faced spiritual warfare. I mean, it's been real ever since the beginning of the Word. Even when Satan was there and presented himself to Adam and Eve and to Cain and all of these other things that the devil, he's been against God, he's been against God's people, and he's certainly been against the church. In the time that the Apostle Paul was ministering, he was certainly against the church, and he came against the Apostle Paul himself. If Paul had anything, of course we know that he had the Spirit of God. We know that the Spirit of God pricked his heart and converted him. Amen. And I would imagine Paul never forgot that trip to Damascus. I imagine that was on his mind, just like it's on our heart and on our mind where the Lord saved us. There's a song that says, I can tell you the place, or I can show you, or tell you the time, I can show you the place where the Lord saved me. And it's still very vivid in my mind where the Lord brought me to the knowledge of salvation. I imagine it was with Paul too. But here we find that Satan is bombarding the church. So again, don't feel like we're the only ones living in this era or in this time where Satan is coming against the church. You know why he's coming against the church? Because I believe that he knows that his time is short. I believe he knows that this thing's about to wind up. And we're going to go home to glory. And don't worry and don't fret about the things, amen, that we have to endure. Because God has never failed us yet. And he's not going to begin to fail us now. Amen. His promises are yea and nay. And God's going to be with us through every situation. But the Apostle Paul began to teach the church that you can be prepared. Amen. How many knows about being prepared? If we've learned anything through this pandemic, we need to be prepared. Is that not right? I would imagine that there were not too many people that has endured this pandemic that will let their cupboard be bare again. Amen. You know, you take that opportunity. We saw that when we go to the grocery stores and wouldn't find anything on the shelf. People were hoarding. People were finding everything they could and stocking up. And I will assure you that if this thing happens again or something similar, I believe the people will be a little bit more prepared than maybe they were before. But if we learned anything from the Scriptures, if we learned anything from the testimonies of those great patriarchs of the Word of God, it is that we need to be prepared. Amen? Because we know that we have a battle. Amen? Not just a little skirmish and it's over. But I don't know about you, but Satan comes against me constantly. He's constantly coming and bringing things against me. And the Apostle Paul said here, it is not a physical battle. And that's what we got to understand. We're not going to put a chokehold on Satan. I've heard, you know, we're going to black his eye. Well, that's not physical, but you can black his spiritual eye. And you can lean on the power the Lord Jesus Christ has given us. And God has equipped us. God has prepared us. And this is what the Apostle Paul began to endeavor to tell the church and encourage the church. And I want to pass that on to us tonight so that we can be ready, prepared, and ready for the fight that the Lord comes, that Satan comes against us. Now, I want to just clear this up right now. Satan don't only come against unsaved folks. In fact, I believe he spends more of his time coming against saved folks. Somebody said, well, he hadn't bothered me. Well, if he's already got you, he's probably not going to bother you. But those of us who are trying to live a holy and righteous life, those who are trying to be obedient to the Word of God and endeavoring to do what a Christian should do, and how many knows we don't just get the Holy Ghost and sit down and wait till Jesus comes, amen? He has equipped us, amen, with the right mind. He said, let this mind be in you which is in Christ Jesus, to go about the daily activities and also lead people to the Lord. And amen, live an example so others might see Christ in us. So Satan can't stand that. He doesn't mind you coming to church. Now, you really don't upset Satan by coming to church. But when you come to church and you get into church and you're fed and you begin to worship and praise the Lord, it gets on his nerves. He can't stand that because he doesn't want victory in your life. He doesn't want you to be happy. He doesn't want you to be content. So he comes against you with any and everything that he can. Let me tell you something. We say the devil is stupid sometimes, but I will assure you he knows our weakest link. The reason he knows that is because most of the time we tell him. We just tell him. We you know, I've heard people testify, said, you know what really worries me? Satan said, yeah, tell me. You know what really gets on my last nerve? And Satan's that listening to you. And again, he picks up on those things, so he comes against us with temptations and trials and whatever he can do to upset us. But the Apostle Paul realized that we have power within us. The Bible said, you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. How many is thankful for the power that the Lord God equipped us with? Now, the Bible encourages us to bring our problems and to bring our troubles to God, but also God has equipped us to handle some of these things on our own, or really not on our own, but through the power that he has instilled within us. Amen. If we had a speedometer and an odometer, if we had a Holy Ghostometer, if there ever was such a thing, I believe it would surprise some of us to realize how far that thing is charged up. I mean, we have got abundant power within us, whether we realize it or not, and Satan does realize it, because all we have to do is call on the name of Jesus, that Holy Ghost odometer, whatever goes pegging out, and let the devil know that greater is he that is within us than anything in the world that can come against us. We have been equipped with the power that God has instilled into us. Spiritual weapons. If we're going to fight a spiritual battle, then it makes sense that we have spiritual weapons. You know, I thought God had always provided. David killed the giant through the power of God, but God provided stones and a sling. Think about that. Something that David could use, something that David had somewhat expertise with, but God got the glory. I believe that God guided the stone with all of my heart. I believe that it was God that gave David the faith to go out and do that. And I began to think, you know, many, many times we're calling on God, and God has already equipped us with a spiritual sling or a spiritual stone or a spiritual sword or a shield that we're going to get into just a little bit later. But we already have the spiritual weapons available. We just need to exercise those and use those against Satan. You're never going to beg Satan to leave you alone, and he'll never do it. But he does understand authority. And the authority he understands is not, I rebuke you in the name of First Pentecostal Church. He'll just laugh at you. And if you rebuke him in the name of the Pastor Eddie Allen, he doesn't fear me one bit in the world. But if you say, I come against you in the name of Jesus Christ, amen, I rebuke you, Satan, get behind me, use the word on him. One thing said not Satan cannot stand against is the powerful word of God. And God has given us that word and given us those spiritual weapons. Now, the Apostle Paul, he addressed some very specific things. And the spiritual weapons are basically intended to give us victory in this warfare. Now, you know, we talk about sports, and you know, the two teams go into that competition hoping to win, planning to win, but don't have the assurance of winning. Church, we got the assurance of winning. I mean, that's amazing. We can go into battle, but we already know that God is never going to be defeated. We're on God's side. He is a captain. He has equipped us with spiritual weapons. So when we go into the battle, when we go into the trial, when we go into the situation, we should, by faith, already know that we're going to come out victorious. Amen. Somebody ought to give the Lord a hand clap of praise to know that we are going to receive victory. Amen. So basically what the Apostle Paul says, what the spiritual weapons have been given to us for, amen, to put over in the corner of the house and just make sure they're there. No. Amen. I'm afraid sometimes that's what we do. So I'm afraid sometimes the last thing that we grab is the spiritual weapons that God has equipped us with. because we begin to complain and begin to murmur because, Lord, why? I've been working for living for you for years and years. Why am I suffering? Why am I going through this? Why is the devil picking on me? And we have the weaponry right there. We have the spiritual weapons that God has provided. First of all, these weapons were given to us to destroy, that's the Hebrew word for pulling down, strongholds. Come on, it's one thing to pull it down, but it's another thing to absolutely destroy it. Amen? God has given us the power through the spiritual weapons not only to pull down the strongholds, but to completely destroy those things. Say, in the name of Jesus, I pull them down. And those strongholds, what are those strongholds? Those are things that have been embedded and entrenched. That's things that's not really easily gotten victory over. In the battles of the old time, they would like to have a cliff behind them. They would like to be up above the enemy. And when the enemy approached them, they was already entrenched in a stronghold. I'm so afraid that many of us are battling things that have been entrenched in our life for years and years and years. And all we've done is just kind of pull them down a little bit. But we need to completely destroy those. Brother Eddie, how do you do that? It sounds real, real good. Hey, man, it is possible. Not only did it sound good, but God has equipped us with spiritual weapons to destroy those strongholds that come against us. Satan, you got no business. You got no right. Amen. I'm a child of God. I'm under the blood. I've been born again. All things have passed away. I'm not what I used to be. You could have pushed me around before, but God has equipped me with spiritual weapons. Somebody ought to say, praise the Lord. I got something to battle against the onslaught of Satan and all of his wiles. Not only to destroy strongholds, but to overcome resistance. Resistance. You know, resistance really doesn't come with somebody shoving you back. Resistance comes by giving you excuse not to go forward. More, Satan's the best in the world at giving excuses. Too tired. Too frustrated. Too overwhelmed. I got too much going on. And Satan says, pats you on the back and says, yes, you do. Yes, you do. Poor, pitiful thing. You got all these things. You ain't got time to be worshiping the Lord. You certainly ain't got time to be doing a Bible study. And you surely don't have time to go to church and worship the Lord. And he'll give you, and he'll just pat you on the back. And that's the resistance that we got to fight against. You know, my daddy said, there's two times to do things. And he would sometimes say, go to church or worship the Lord. But it really applies to anything. There's two times to do it, when you feel like it and when you don't. And I will assure you, if you'll do it when you don't feel like it, you'll get a blessing from it. Amen. Amen. If I'd have only went to school on the days that I felt like it, you're right. I've still been trying to get out of kindergarten, probably. Many a day I went to school not feeling good. But I got up anyway. It's on the bread route, I think about that. Billy, if you'd only get up when you feel like it and run that bread route, it probably wouldn't be maybe once, twice a week. But then you get to feeling better, and you accomplish that. Amen? So there's two times to do it, when you feel like it and when you don't. In other words, to overcome the resistance. To overcome the resistance. You know how easy the resistance is? Like this. Well, the pastor asked me about doing this ministry, but you know what? I'm not nearly as qualified as brother so-and-so. I think we just maybe, I'm going to suggest that maybe he get him to do it or get sister so-and-so to do it. You know what that is? That's Satan resisting you a blessing. Amen. I believe, first of all, if the Lord lays it on the pastor's heart or somebody's heart or even on your heart, then the Lord knows what he's doing and who he's calling. And why should we resist against the calling of the Lord or against the power of the Lord? Prime example, I ran for two solid years, a little over two solid years, when I knew without a shadow of a doubt that God was calling me to preach the Word. I gave every kind of excuse. I even went, Satan even was giving me all kind of excuses. I was using everything in the world, but nothing worked. And I finally had to push back on the resistance and had to say, Lord, not my will, but thine be done. So that's how we reduce, or that's how we overcome this resistance. And to overcome the resistance, we have to have the power of the Lord is within us. And we do have that because He has equipped us with spiritual weapons. Amen? And when you got spiritual weapons, my Lord, glory to God, you can be overcomers over everything through Christ, which strengthens us. The other thing is to break through barriers. Well, I just can't do that. Well, that's the greatest excuse in the world. I just can't do that. I just can't go on. I just can't. I wished I could get the blessings like those folks do, but I just can't seem to break through. You've got the power. You've got the spiritual weapons. Are we using those spiritual weapons? Amen? That's the thing about it. If we have them, God has blessed us with them, and if we're just kind of holding on them and not exercising them and not using them, not living and operating in faith, then no wonder we're having so many troubles and trials and issues. And the Apostle Paul said, and he was talking about, understand now, some of these battles, they were coming from physical or fleshly people, but we're not to fight back in a physical form, but we're to fight back in the form of a spiritual warfare with them. And that's the biggest thing that we're in right now, is a spiritual warfare. How many would be honest with me and say, you know what, I never in my wildest dreams thought we would see some of the things that's happened this year? Amen. Just about 100%. I mean, we've seen things. We've experienced things. But these things now, we understand that Satan is coming against us. He's coming against the church. He's coming against Christianity. He's coming against Christian morals. He's coming against the righteous people with everything that he has. And think about that. Because he knows. He knows he's going to lose. And he's using everything that he's got. That lets me to believe, as a Bible reader, reading the prophets of old, that this thing's about to wind up. I'm not prophesying that it's going to end this year. I'm not prophesying. No man knows the day nor the hour. We don't understand it. Only God in heaven knows. But I guarantee you, when the Word says, when you see these things begin to come to pass, then look up, for your redemption draweth nigh. And I believe Satan's got air of it. And I believe Satan's coming against us because he is fighting us with everything that he has. But he's not going to win. Not going to win because of the Lord. Through God is going to give us that strength, already equipped us with those spiritual weapons. Against strongholds. What are strongholds? Entrenched enemies. Man. I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand, but I'm going to ask you to use your memory. Is there an entrenched enemy in your life, in your working area? God forbid, in your family. But it's always been there. It's been there for as long as you can remember. And you've kind of given up on it, and you've just said, well, you know, this just that is what it is, or they are what they are. You know what? God has equipped us to get victory over those entrenched enemies. Those things that are embedded. It may not be a person. It may be a feeling. It may be an issue. It may be a memory. You know, thank God that when He forgives us, He wipes away that. He doesn't remember that. I remember somebody telling me, you know, if we're still praying over something that God's done forgiven us for, He's saying, what are you talking about? You know, but we're not like that because we have the mind of Christ within us, but we're not totally transformed yet. Amen? And we still have that memory. And Satan likes to drag those things up from yesteryear that are under the blood, by the way. Thank God. Amen. How many saw this week Brother Anthony Wynn's little piece on the Facebook? Just happened to think about it. He was at a dumpster of all place, one of those dumpsters, and he was giving a word of testimony. And I was thinking, man, of all the places to give a testimony, but he had a point. And what had happened, there was some, and this sounds awful, I believe it was some chicken or something, some meat, some kind of meat that was spoiled. And when they, you know, the dump truck takes it and dumps it in, it missed it and it was on the ground. So it must have been the dumpster at their church, I'm assuming. So he goes out there and he said, my goodness, he had to wrap a napkin or, a handkerchief around his face, and he said he pulled his T-shirt around, said the stink was still coming through. So he went back and got his tractor. And when he got his tractor, and he dug a big old hole, and he buried that stuff, and he covered it with mounds of dirt. And he said, when I did that, he said, God just spoke to me. All of that rank, stinky stuff of my past, of our past, amen. And when it was uncovered, it was awful. It was smelly. It was terrible. But it's under the blood now. It's been covered. Praise God. And he said, you know what? You don't smell it anymore. It's all gone. And I thought, man, what a wonderful analogy that is. And God, see, Satan doesn't want you to think about it. He wants you to remember those things of the past. But think about them as they're covered. And the smell and the stench is not there anymore because you've been cleansed by the blood of Jesus Christ. So those are those entrenched enemies that we can get victory over. Imaginations. Imaginations. That was an interesting word and a term that the Apostle Paul used. Basically what it refers to is thoughts and reckonings against the knowledge of God. In my lifetime, there's been a few people that said, you know, oh, the Bible is just nothing, you know. But not as much as it is today. People are discounting the Word of God as just another book. They're declaring that there is no God. These are imaginations. These are thoughts and reckonings against the knowledge of God. And church, we need to be careful of that kind of stuff. We need to be careful that it doesn't infiltrate our young people and those, man, that are still in school and learning, and make sure that those thoughts and those imaginations are cast down. That is not God. That is not biblical. And that is not what the Christian warfare needs to accept. We need to identify it. The best way to kill the enemy, to destroy the enemy, is first of all to identify it. And how do you identify it? With the discernment of the Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost that is within us, and know that it is not real, know that it is not genuine, and know that it's coming against the knowledge of Christ. Have no part of it. And this is what the Apostle Paul said. Cast down those imaginations. And he mentions the high things. Those are the things that exalt itself over God. Do you remember? Well, you may not. Some of you generation might remember. But in my day, the British invasion, the Beatles. The Beatles came over and they swept the United States. And girls were screaming and hollering. And guys were getting their hair cut like the Beatles. And it was just a big, big thing. And the statement was, after they got really, really popular, I don't know if it was one of them made it or something, but it was documented that they said, we're more popular than Jesus Christ. And you remember what the world did? The United States did? They started burning their records. You know what a record is? a disc that you played, you know, started burning their records and not going to their concerts and things because they got too high and too mighty. You know, that was really big back then. But today, probably people wouldn't even pay a bit of attention to it because they're declaring things like that now. And you know, they're just almost God in their position. And this is what the Apostle Paul was talking about. And remember, during that time, the Pharisees and the priests and some of the Sadducees, they were putting themselves in a godlike position, had lots of followers. If you read about the Pharisees and you read about the priests, many of those times, the monies that was coming in, the monies wasn't going to help the needy. The money wasn't going to help the church. The money was going in the pockets of those priests and some of those Pharisees and those chief rulers and all. And that's the reason they didn't want Jesus coming in and upsetting an apple cart. Because Jesus came in and he denounced all of that stuff. So, again, Satan comes against us in high things, but exalted itself over God, but we need to tear those things down as well. And finally, the evil thoughts. The evil thoughts. I've had a lot of conversation. A lot of people talk to me after they got saved and filled with the Spirit of the Lord, and they couldn't understand why these thoughts would come into their mind. And let me tell you something, folks. When just because we get saved and filled with the Spirit of God, we still have a mind, amen, that's carnal. basically, because the body, the flesh, is carnal. And there's going to be some carnal things that go through our mind. That doesn't mean that you're lost. That doesn't mean that you're backslidden. Now, if you let those things play out, then that's another situation. But we can't help seeing those. And no wonder some of the evil thoughts that go through our mind. What are we bombarded with today? Evilness. Almost everywhere you read, everywhere you see, you turn the television on, you see all of these dramatic things, and you can't help but these thoughts run through your mind, but you know you don't let them stay there. These evil thoughts, you have to bring them into captivity. And how do you bring them into captivity? Well, Paul answers that. Basically, by controlling those thoughts. You control those. You say, you know what, I'm not going to think about that. Just, it's going to come into my mind. But you know what? I'm not going to dwell on it. Because if you dwell on those thoughts, and you know what? Many people get themselves completely stressed out because these thoughts that come to their mind. But again, the Lord has given us spiritual weapons to combat those things. And then finally, disobedience. Disobedience. We got to come against that disobedience. And the disobedience here basically is self-disobedience. And again, Satan's really big on this. Because, you know, we just sometimes we come up with all these excuses why we don't want to do it or why we can't do it. And we don't really want to say we don't want to do it. We just say we can't do it. And that kind of gives us an outlet there. Well, I can't do that. I can't witness to anybody, or I can't go out and to the highways and compel them. I can't talk about this. And you know, then, but we have to understand that we have to destroy the self-disobedience. And how we do that? By becoming fully obedient to God. Man, I'm working on that one. I'm working on that one. I never want to be disobedient unto God. But really, sometimes when I hesitate, when I say, Lord, I don't really know about that. And for 2 years, I was disobedient unto God. I was coming to church. I was playing the guitar. I was singing. But I knew that the Lord had called me to preach, and I had to completely, fully be obedient unto God. And that's hard sometimes, because really, the flesh doesn't want to do it. You know, the flesh doesn't really want to kneel down and pray sometimes. But you fully be fully obedient unto the Lord and say, Lord, I'm going to give you this time. The flesh doesn't want to say, I want to give up that, or I don't want to give up that food. I want that food. But sometimes the Spirit says, if you'll push it back and fast unto me, then I'll give you the petitions that you're asking for me to do. And God will do that. So we have to be obedient and fully obedient unto God and able to destroy the disobedience with us. All of these things that God has given us so that we can be on the offensive. How many knows what the offensive is? But how many know sometimes the best way to fight a battle is be defensive? And God gives us equipment for that. If you'll turn with me to Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12. The writer here says, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Can I get an amen? You ever felt like you've just been wore out wrestling all week against some of these situations that arise that the Apostle Paul is listing here in the book of Ephesians? The church of Ephesus was having some of the same situations. But again, even though God has equipped us with these offensive weapons, He's also given us a defense. And He says, wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God. A key word there is the whole armor of God. Sometimes in our hurriedness, sometimes maybe we don't prepare the whole armor and we just kind of use part of it. But Paul here said, take on the whole armor of God. Why? That you may be able to withstand in the evil day. Would you agree with me that this classifies or is certifiably the evil day that we're living in? And having done all, to stand with that armor. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth. How many is thankful for the truth? Having on the breastplate of righteousness, which only comes through the Spirit of the Lord, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Who can give that peace? Only God can give that peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. I love that word all. Not just some of them, not just every once of them, but the Bible said that with the shield of faith, we can quench all the fiery darts that come against us. And how many knows that sometimes we think Satan's picking on nobody but us? He ain't got time to bother nobody else. He's been on my case all week. That's the way we feel sometimes. Then take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. God's protective gear, God's spiritual weapons that He has equipped us with, but He has also given us protective gear. I heard just this week where an officer was shot, but he had the breastplate on. He had the, what do you call it, the armor, bulletproof vest, and it protected him, saving his life. Think about that. It didn't stop the enemy from firing, but it stopped the bullet from going through, penetrating the bulletproof vest. Your shield is not going to keep Satan from throwing fiery darts, but it's going to keep them from going through. They won't penetrate. We talk about the shield that's beaten up, the shield that's got cracks and scratches all over it. Hey, that's a soldier, amen. That's a precious saint of God who's been through the battle and used that shield of faith. So we are equipped. So don't let Satan get the upper hand. He knows he's defeated. Treat him like he is defeated and use the weapons of spiritual warfare that God has instilled us with. And not only the spiritual weapons, but also the protective gear that God has given us through His power, through His Word, through the shield of faith. Amen. God bless you. We are more than able, more than conquerors through Christ, which strengthens us. Would you stand tonight? God bless you for coming out on Wednesday night. We love you dearly. Appreciate you. Hope you have a wonderful balance of the week. This opportunity, if you have a need tonight, please come forward. We'll pray with you. We know God is a healer. We know God is a deliverer. We know God is a way maker. So if you have a need tonight, whether it be physical, spiritual, or whatever, please come around and you elders come.